All right, and welcome back to World Football Daily. It's Rafa here, and I'm with the Portland Timbers' new manager, the one to lead them to the promised land this season, Caleb Porter. How are you doing today?
Good, Rafa. How are you?
Living the dream as always. All right, so let's jump into this, Caleb. You've had quite the interesting year or two, jumping from Akron to U.S. soccer, now into MLS. People are saying you're trying to remake the Timbers into your own image. What was the main issues that you saw with the club coming into this position?
Well, I don't know that I want to remake the Timbers into my own image. I want to remake the club into a winning club. I mean, that's the key. And so certainly I have a philosophy. You know, I have a way of looking at a team and how to build it into a successful culture. And that's really what I'm trying to do. But in response to your question, I think, you know, this has been a club that has had some talented players. You know, the first year they had some success. Even last year they had success in certain games, but there was a lot of inconsistency. And if we want to be a team that's a playoff team year in and year out, which is our goal, you know, then we need to build a club and a culture where we have a more consistent approach, where we have players who are game in and game out, consistent in their performance. And in our recruitment, in our selections, our trades, in the players that we've kept here, we've tried to keep a common theme and tried to follow a formula. And that formula is to have guys that are winning players. And so we've tried to follow that formula in keeping players and in adding players. And as we continue to build the culture in the club where we have a clear identity, I think that things will take shape, hopefully in a way where we have more consistent performances, which leads to more consistent results.
Well, you must have that whatever it is that breeds that culture of winning, because everywhere you've gone, you've done just that, win. How has your positions at Akron and then your short time with U.S. soccer kind of helped prep you for this professional position with the Portland Timbers? As a manager, obviously, I know you played professionally as well.
Yeah, you know, one of the interesting things about my path is, you know, I did taste the professional ranks as a player. It was a very short window, but I was in Major League Soccer for two seasons and with two different clubs. So, you know, I was able to be at that level as a player and to have a feel for that, I think, is important. You know, my career ended very short, and it was premature. I was 25 years old. I had four knee surgeries and was forced to retire. You know, and that was a blessing in disguise, because I was able to get into coaching at a young age, 25 years old. And so, you know, a lot of my friends continued playing for another 10 years. You know, 50, some of them are still playing, where I was able to cut my teeth in coaching at a young age. And I've now been a coach for 13 years, mm-hmm. and I've been in the trenches. I've been working 12-hour days. I've figured out what works, what doesn't work. I've been running training sessions. I've been doing team talks. I've been overseas studying clubs and developing my formula and philosophy and fine-tuning that over the years. So I really think that even though it's been viewed in some ways as a disadvantage that I've been in college, I think it's a real advantage that I've had the opportunity to coach and figure out how to put the pieces together for 13 years. And even though I've been in college, I've been in the last 7 years the top college program, a program where we've produced year in and year out professional players. Even though they weren't pro players at the time, they were future pro players. Sure. Many of these players now very successful in Major League Soccer. And trust me, even though they were college players at the time, you know, they had a pro game. They had a pro mentality. They needed pro management. They weren't your typical college player where you tell them to jump and they jump. You know, they took some finessing, and even though I wasn't a pro coach, I was really approaching my team at Akron mm-hmm. from a soccer standpoint in a very professional way. And ultimately my goal was always to be a pro coach. When I left Major League Soccer as a player, I had that in the back of my mind as a goal, and I was just buying my time, again, continuing to just prepare myself to be ready. And ultimately, this opportunity came available, and it was too good to pass up. It was the right time, the right fit, and you know, I'm really enjoying it. It feels very comfortable being in this setting, day in and day out. You know, and I'm excited and stimulated at the opportunity to build a winning club in Portland.
Now building the winning club, bringing in that winning mentality. Four players on your Portland Timbers rosters are from, you know, your Akron team. Three of which you personally brought in. Are you building a mini Akron team, or is this just part of that, you know, breeding of a winning mentality?
Well, I have no reason to build an Akron team. I'm building a winning team, and the reality is Darlington Nagbe was already here before I even took the job. And actually, we've only signed one player at this point, and that's Ben Zemanski. Ben Zemanski, I could care less where he's from. You know, that's irrelevant for me. It just so happens he's from Akron. Certainly we have a history, and I know what he brings to the table, but the reality is he's proven that he's an MLS, you know, a high MLS caliber player. He's played 72 games in his 3 years. I think he's one of the more underrated midfielders in the league, and, you know, was a no-brainer when he came available for us to get him with the need that we had to get a true holding mid with Jack Jewsbury out. You know, Michael Nanshoff and David Mavis, we have not signed yet. So the reality is we don't have four Akron players. It may be that we decide to sign Michael Nanshoff. He's been trialing here for the last, you know, several weeks. You know, and he has done well. You know, we have traded now for his rights. And we're making a decision on that. And it may be that he's a great value for us to sign, you know, as a roster player. So, no, I could care less if they're from Akron or not from Akron. You know, the reality is we have, you know, I think somewhere around 19 or 20 players that are Akron players in Major League Soccer. So the likelihood of me coming across a player that I might want that happens to be an Akron player is pretty high. So if anything, I've been very careful about not adding Akron players, because the reality is I don't want to add a guy enough, and he's got to be good enough first and foremost. And you know, the reality is you know, Ben Zemanski's good enough, Darlington Nagbe's good enough. These are good players that would play on any team, and any MLS team would want to have them.
Right. Well, now staying on your college system a little bit, you have a very kind of personal perspective that you can give us on this. What are your thoughts on the college system here in the States and how it affects the development of our players, both at a national level and, you know, international club competitions as well?
Well, you know, it's not the perfect system. You know, with the NCAA rules limiting your opportunity to train players, you know, it's not ideal. It's not an ideal, I don't think, progression for players to go to college and then into Major League Soccer, because, like I said, they limit your ability to train and with an off season and to play games. But it is what it is. At this point, you know, our country is evolving. Our infrastructure is evolving. We have a reserve league now. We have an academy structure now, which helps. You know, the best college soccer programs are still going to be very prevalent in producing players because, like I said, the structure isn't to the point yet where college soccer is irrelevant. It will continue to be very prevalent, I think. And I always felt at Akron that even though we had rules with regards to the time we could coach them and train them and have them in games, we still, I think, were able to create an environment where players could grow and develop. And the top programs in college soccer will continue to do that. And you've seen players that come out of college that do very well. They step right in, they play. So, you know, in the future, how much of a presence will college soccer have? I think that remains to be seen. I think it'll always have a presence, but you're seeing more and more of the young players going right into academies and then into teams as of homegrown players. And, you know, players that come to college are staying, you know, 1 year, 2 years, or not even coming into college. So it's becoming, I think, a situation where they're staying a short amount of time. You're seeing more and more players not going to college. And I think that's a natural progression. And in all honesty, we should move in a direction where less and less of the top players go to college. But you're always going to have players that maybe aren't quite ready, mm-hmm. That maybe they value the education more. You know, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing. You know, even you look at England, you know, I think they understand more and more, or they are understanding more and more that it's a pretty good system. You know, maybe the best players will go into the professional ranks, but the reality is very few players make it professionally. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the ones that don't make it, it's a good thing that they get their degree and they have the opportunity to go into the real world and have a job. Whereas in some ways, over in countries like England, it's a one track. Either you're a soccer player and you make it, or if you don't, you don't have your degree and you don't have a backup plan. So right. I think in some ways our structure helps the a broader range of people and players be successful not only in soccer but in life.
Now, real quick, it's been written that you had the opportunity to make the jump to the MLS before this Portland position was open and available, but you didn't take it. Is there something that wasn't right about that position? And I'm talking about the DC United position, or was it just not the right time for you then? Or was it something about this Portland Timbers position that just really jumped out at you for it?
Well, I think there are a number of factors. You know, I had a couple opportunities. I also spoke with a number of other teams over the last 3 years. You know, the reality is I was in a very good situation at Akron, mm-hmm. where I could be picky, I guess.
Sure.
I could buy my time. I mean, I had a very good contract. I was happy. I felt like I was stimulated building my program there, fighting to win national championships, developing young players. I was working with the best of the best in our country, the young future pro, the U-17, many, you know, U-17 national team players. So, you know, it was a good gig I had. And, you know, I had a young family as well. I had a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 10-month-old. And, you know, it needed to be the right fit, the right time. So a bit of it was finding the right fit and situation, and also me being feeling like I was ready to do it, and my family being ready to do it. So ultimately, you know, there were a couple jobs that I would have left for, but the number one job that I had in mind, honestly, when Portland got a franchise, was the Portland Timbers.
Sure.
And in the back of my mind, I always thought if I had the chance to go there, it'd be hard to pass up.
Right. Well, not a bad place to raise a family. I myself am a new dad. I have an 11-month-old that is celebrating her first Valentine's Day this week, and that's a brilliant thing for me, my man. So I can somewhat relate to you there. Now, obviously, you had said Portland Timbers, a nice situation to kind of fall into. Portland, how has Portland welcomed you, and are the Rose City faithful giving you the full backing as a new coach for their Timbers?
Well, my family and I are really enjoying Portland. That was, like I said, a big factor, you know, not only in taking the job soccer-wise because of the supporters, and I really, really liked Merrick Paulson, our owner, his vision, and Gavin Wilkinson. Their vision was in line with my vision, and that's important when you get into a situation like this. You know, you need to all be on the same page with what you're trying to do. Those things are all attractive, but the other thing that was attractive was living in a community like Portland, who I think it's one of the top communities to raise a family in the country. I mean, people come from all over here to settle, and so we feel blessed to have the opportunity to live in this community. We're settled and really, really enjoying it. As far as the Rose City faithful, Timber's Army, I mean, obviously there's always going to be a honeymoon period. you know, at the end of the day, we have to win games.
Right.
But I feel like they're really excited and they're thirsting for a winner, a champion here, a club that can win trophies. I actually met last evening with the board members of the Timbers Army.
There you go.
And really enjoyed that meeting and conversation with them. You know, we're trying to build this club into a club that can be year in and year out amongst the best clubs in Major League Soccer. And we're trying to not cut any corners. We want to build something that's sustainable long term. And we're really, you know, Merrick, Gavin, and myself, we're really being careful to make the right moves, the right decisions, not rushing anything. We want to build this the right way so that we are a club that that year in and year out can be in the playoffs, eventually get in CONCACAF Champions League, make runs in the Open Cup, and you know, ultimately our blue sky goal is to win the MLS Cup trophy. How long that will take and when that will happen, you know, I don't think we know yet. But yeah. The reality is we do have a vision and a plan to do that eventually.
Caleb, you're way too good of a guest, and you're spending way too much time on all my questions. I have like 13 more questions to ask you, but obviously we're running a little bit short on time. I had promised that I'd get you off pretty quickly. Let me ask you this last question. A 1-0 victory over Seattle in the preseason, not a bad way to warm yourself up to the Rose City faithful. Can you tell us what this rivalry means to you and how you will approach the battle for the Pacific Northwest?
Well, we're well aware of the rivalry, and you know, it means a lot to myself, my players, the supporters to beat Seattle. It's a preseason game. You have to kind of take it with a grain of salt. They had some guys missing. We had some guys missing. So, you know, we don't hold a lot of weight in that result, but it's always nice when you beat them. And you know, we're going to go into games against Seattle. We're going to understand the rivalry. We're going to want to win every time we play them. But I also want to temper that in saying that every game's important. And, you know, beating Seattle is not going to be any more important than beating anybody. You know, we want to win every time we take the field. And we want to create a mindset, a mentality in our players that there's really no game bigger than any other game. Every game's important. And we want to take the field home, away, in conference, out of conference, whether we're playing Seattle, Vancouver, or anybody. We want to take the field expecting to win, not hoping to win. But yeah, it'll be a little sweeter maybe, certainly for our supporters to beat the Sounders. But they're a good club. I have a lot of respect for that club, a lot of respect for what they've done, respect for Siggy Schmidt. He's another, you know, college coach, former college coach that's coming to Major League Soccer along with Bruce Arena, who have, you know, they've been role models to me. But when we get in that game and take the field, you know, I'm one of the most competitive guys you'll ever meet, and I don't want to lose to anybody.
Sure.
But I'm certainly not going to want to lose to the Seattle Sounders.
Well, Caleb, thank you so much for making the time for us today. Again, I apologize for holding you a little bit over, but I appreciate all the time that you made for us. Best of luck this season. Really looking forward to meeting you personally when you come down to Los Angeles. And again, best of luck to you and the Timbers this year.
Thanks, Rafa. Yeah, well, come on anytime. Appreciate it.
All right, take care. That was the man who is leading the Portland Timbers out of the darkness of the woods, Caleb Porter, doing the business up in Portland. And best of luck to them. Again, we kind of have a soft spot for Portland. I think it's mainly because of the jerseys and the general culture that we have seen up there. But we look for success for all of our MLS teams and friends. So best of luck to them. Really looking forward to it. Again, that was Caleb Porter, the manager, the coach of your Portland Timbers. Right here on World Football Daily, I'm Rafa Gonzalez. We'll be back after this break.